help us create an environment where the conversation is easier and richer. People would tend to move down, particularly those in the rear. Some of us are getting old, can't see back that far. So you don't have to come to the first row, but could you come down a bit? I'm going to come up and get you if you don't come down. Move down. Those in the last 6-7 rows, just move a little closer. Makes it easier. It doesn't seem like a sort of disparate group of people. For the yurt? Do you want a yurt from me? Okay. Let me do something very, very quickly, and then I hope retire from the front. This is a continuation of a conversation that we began at the last forum. There are a number of suggestions and things to take into account, and we've tried to follow through on some of them, and ultimately perhaps all of the rich suggestions will be realized in some of the changed approaches. We're now calling this simply the forum.
Oh, come on.
And this edition before, and I think will be richer because I inveigled a couple of friends who think about, write about, and in a sense are quite real experts on issues of cultural representation, appropriation, and a whole range of issues that were part of our conversation to join with us this time. We're also holding it at a different time to see if it would affect the numbers, and seems not to have too much. So we'll keep experimenting with it. Let me introduce our president, Gregory Prince, and a couple of faculty friends, Michelle Biggenhoe, School of Social Science, who's a cultural anthropologist. I won't even begin to tell you the sort of range of high quality work that she does. And a person whom a great many of you suggested would add and enrich our conversation, Vivek Bhandari, whose work is extraordinary and whose influence is extended to a great many of you who are here this evening and many, many more, some of whom have even managed to graduate. So, now, you'll forgive me if I don't call on you. Vision problems being what they were. I thought I'd ask Vivek and maybe Grace to begin the conversation together. They can come down front and sort of facilitate this conversation. So, and Michelle, whom I did not threaten with dragging her down front, might want to join them in helping to make this conversation flow. With that, I'm going to leave the front and invite Greg and Vivek. Michelle, you can decide whether you want to come down. Okay. I'm going to sit with Nancy.
You're going to get behind us.
I've never done this one.
As a way of beginning this, we haven't rehearsed this, but I think there's something to write on the blackboard with, I hope. But the topic covers a lot of issues. We talked last time a lot about the bookstore, some about courses. But I just thought one way of starting this conversation would be to try to get individuals to list the places where they think there is an issue that deals with representation in our community. And go beyond our community, but in terms of what we see, we know that from the letter that came out that the bookstore is one. I thought it might be interesting and useful before having a conversation to go down is where and where do we think, how much of it is a classroom issue, how much of it is a campus, how much, I'm sure it's all of the above, but just get people to raise questions where they feel there is an issue that bothers them or that we should pay attention to. And sort of list questions, or list questions, either problems, topics, or questions that deal with this that you'd like to see if we can cover in the course of the conversation. So, I'll write bookstore up there. Does anybody want to add anything? We know that's one.
Greg, could you write down just among student groups on campus? I don't know how else to word that.
Okay. Relationship among student groups?
Yes.
That has something to do with cultural appropriation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. Mm-hmm.
Other?
Yeah. I think in a lot of the materials that Hampshire puts out as well, in terms of like
college materials?
I'm thinking specifically of the
publications and.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, is admissions an example of the one they're thinking of directly, or are you thinking?
I mean, I'm thinking of specifically as educating for change thing.
Okay.
See, now that who put that out, it doesn't have
the non-status theory.
Yeah. I think that's part of the. I think that's part of it.
Study abroad programs.
Pardon?
Study abroad programs.
Study abroad programs. If I can't see, I can't hear, but between us we'll get it done. Other topics we'd like to sort of try to cover in this is a range of issues.
I don't know how to phrase it. When rich kids think it's cool to dress poor class.
I'll put dress at the moment, but
the drag wall.
The drag ball?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Other topics? We're getting warmed up, it's going. But it's a very useful exercise. I'm hearing things that I would not put on that list if I were sitting there,
yeah.
And that's what's useful.
At first, it's sounding really naive. I kind of came to kind of find out what the issue is. So can
mm-hmm.
we go over that at some point? Just somebody quickly.
We'll come back to it. I mean, we're trying.
Okay.
We're partly defining what the issue is by asking people to list some of the areas where they have a concern, where they think there is an issue. Where there is, and I'll try to define the topic. What we're looking for is those places in this community, in the way we communicate, the way we work with each other, the way we publish, the way we teach, the way we operate, where we are misrepresenting or appropriating images and representations of other people in ways that are offensive to those individuals, or in ways that are not conducive to the educational goals of the institution. Offensive or not offensive. And I think both are the question. Where is it offensive and where is it not appropriate or conducive to the educational mission of the institution? if it's offensive, it probably is not conducive, but it may be not conducive and not offending anybody per se. So I think we want to look at both.
Anti-war movement.
Pardon?
Anti-war movement.
The anti-war movement.
Yes.
It's a pretty big one, but just different posters advertising different events on campus.
Yeah. I'll just put resources, access to resources.
I don't exactly mean resources, but I mean like, for instance, if you're having a class, say about like housing in the inner city, in like Springfield, that's being taught at Hampshire College, but no one who lives in an inner city neighborhood in Springfield is able to attend that class because they can't afford to go to Hampshire.
Okay.
It's really about Hampshire's place in the wider community, you mean, in terms of its ability to privilege a certain group of people to ask certain kinds of questions. Is that?
Yeah, and then we're
yeah.
talking about, images, representations,
yeah.
but I feel like part of the issue is like, who is in a position to make them and who isn't within
the space. I'll put two community at the moment as just as a flag, as a way of capturing that.
Student work itself.
You mean academic work, right? Just to clarify. Or work is, you know.
Work in general, screenings, presentations.
Okay.
Academic class exhibits.
Community partnership for social change and decision making on campus.
Yes.
If you want to go for offensive, it's kind of offensive to some of us that we're not represented at all. The school has no transgender resources whatsoever.
We can add to it, but and I think it might be useful to go through and try to where somebody would like to expand on what the issue is to them. Some of them were self-evident. The last statement, you know, there are no transgender resources. But if anybody wanted to elaborate and just to work through where the issue is and what the issue is. some of the topics obviously blend into each other, and some of them extend beyond simply the issues of representation. They're much more, they're more broadly based. But it's an interesting list. I hope somebody's writing it down. Somebody writing it down? Somebody else does it?
I want to make sure
I don't lose it.
Okay.
There's a my folder.
Thank you.
Vivek, do you have any comments you want to make before we go?
Just one. This is such a diverse range of issues, and all of them obviously converge around issues of culture, the questions of authenticity, what it means. For Hampshire's self-image as a community. And these are extremely important questions, in part because I think none of these concepts are in and of themselves static. They're all works in progress. I see the value of putting it all up there, but my only concern here is that, you know, each one can be the basis for a completely independent conversation. And so what I prefer to see, just as an idea, because this is the first time I'm doing this, so this is all new to me as well, is maybe choose one or two of these issues and really have an exchange on that subject, because I think that that'll help to unpack it in ways that'll hopefully get to, you know, take us into some depth on what the issue of cultural appropriation is all about. Is that a reasonable, what do you think?
Try it.
All right. So, I mean, is there any one that's sort of jumping out at everyone as something we should talk about first, or?
Well, given the recent mailings, I would really like to cover the bookstore.
Okay.
But I don't know how many people feel.
All right.
Yeah, I think study abroad is a big one. So yeah.
Study abroad is a big one.
In our interaction with the community, access.
Okay. These
is an important one as well.
Right, okay. Those sort of go together.
Right.
These go together, and one way of college materials, posters, and the way we represent
publicity,
it,
right.
And then the bookstore.
Okay.
We start with those?
We start with the bookstore, since I think it's true. It's been a subject
that
of discussion.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a great idea as well. Yeah.
So you put the bookstore
up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I don't hear down here. What did you say?
If you put the bookstore up, you should probably talk about it.
I didn't put it up.
Yeah.
Did I? I put it up? Okay.
I think you did, Greg.
Gosh, why did I do that? I can't even remember that. The bookstore, there was a student group. A group of students wrote a letter to the community. I think it was addressed to the entire community, raising question about things that were being sold in the bookstore, and the fact that some of those things were offensive to different individuals on campus. There was the issue of I think religious iconography. There was also political iconography. Individuals, political figures that were celebrated that people had found in their own experience where they did not see them as positive figures. There were mixed messages coming through the materials being sold. That was discussed last week, and one of the issues that came up was not so much that they're not issues in the bookstore, but what we didn't finish in the conversation last week is how should we as a community try to engage in a conversation about the kind of thing, for example, what is being sold in the bookstore, and use it as a way of, I don't want to say selecting what is sold in the bookstore, but at least raising the question of how could the community become involved in that process and in that conversation. We have gone through the exercise, we meaning some of the senior administration, have gone into the bookstore, looked at objects, and come back and had conversations and found ourselves having very different and unusual conversations about what was offensive and why it was offensive. So that, maybe very blunt without using anybody else, I find, I'll speak personally, I walk in the bookstore and I see plastic figures, religious figures, and I think this doesn't strike me as what I sort of expect to see in terms of quality or what I expect to see in the bookstore. It seems to me rather cheap or rather not of much quality and not saying things of quality. Others see those same figures in this conversation that was taking place, and they see absolutely nothing wrong with it. When I was expressing reservation, they assumed that my reservation was that I didn't want anything religious in the bookstore. Which, you know, having bought a Bible, for which you all gave me grief a couple of years ago, was an unfair assumption. But it was very interesting, the conversation. We were each looking at the same object and having very different reactions to why we thought we were having reactions. Now the question is, how do you as a community have a conversation about what will be in the bookstore and what it means to the community? But the issue is that there are items being sold. There's stuff in there that I wish we weren't selling. I have a feeling, though, if I went in and took out the things that I wish weren't being sold, you would go in there and take my things and put them back in and take something else out that I would have in there. And so who is going to determine that? How are we going to do it? What's the conversation by which it's determined? That's the reason that I put it up there, is to keep that process going. Yeah.
As someone who was a signer of that letter, my purpose was not to develop a process for regulating the bookstore, but to develop a conversation for regulating ourselves in our own cultural appropriate lives. So hoping that this doesn't turn into democratic system can we develop whereby we all figure out what should be sold in the bookstore, and hoping that we can develop, how can we increase sharing amongst each other to recognize how we're doing as affecting each other and the communities that we're a part of globally.
Can I just ask a question? You said regulate. How we regulate ourselves as a community. Is that what you mean? Or are you talking more about the fact that you're keen to encourage engagement on issues of this kind? I mean, are you talking about something? Do you want to use the word regulate? I'm just not sure.
No. I guess I was just sort of drawing a parallel to regulating the bookstore.
Okay.
Regulating individual, like, I think about me regulating myself, not in terms of me regulating anybody else, just sort of in terms of placing myself in the community and recognizing that I don't want to harm other people and how do we work around that. So yeah, more what you were getting at.
Should it be?
Anyone?
Excuse me, yeah.
I do feel like it has a lot to do with understanding histories and legacies and power relations that are present today, and how those relationships of power are not simply something that's far away, but something that is we make choices about every day in our lives, and the institution makes choices about every day, and we play an instrumental role in the maintenance of. And so that a lot of what I see that's important about cultural appropriation is about really having conversations and being really aware of histories and people who...
Could you speak up, please?
Sorry. Being aware of histories and people who are around you as well as yourself in this space. But there's one of those.
My definition of it is taking a cultural object, it might be art, it might be literature, it might be anything, but taking something from one culture and using it for other purposes in another culture or for the denigration or the control of the culture from which it comes. It's taking ownership of something that belongs. someone else and using it for your purpose. The purpose is generally thought to be negative. It may not always be, but it's that's a question. Now, that kind of appropriation is constant. People are taking from borrowing from one culture for other purposes. But the issue is joined when you're using it, when you're taking it, and because of your taking it, you are basically denigrating or taking power away from those to whom it belongs. That's, I think, the issue. That's the way I look at the issue. And that process is, I think, on spectrum, is never ending and is always present when you're dealing with between two cultures. Michelle and Vivek could help me with that. That definition doesn't fit.
That sounds, I mean, the idea of thinking of culture not as something that is a thing out there that people even own. In fact, the minute you start thinking about culture as something that somebody owns, you're already working within a logic of private property and a development of a commodity exchange, which isn't the way that economies have been forever. So I think thinking about culture as a fluid thing in which there's a lot of borrowing going on. Now, that's not to discard by any means the importance of the issues of power that involve, and embedded in a lot of the ways that we go about constructing knowledge and institutions.
One thing that happens a lot in these conversations is the word offended gets used a lot, mostly by the people who are responding to the people who are upset about something. And I want to say that that is not a word that was ever put in the letter. That's not a word that I hear any of us use. Offended is the word that you guys usually say about what we feel. And I'm not offended, and most of the people I talk to aren't offended by the stuff in school for. It's more like I look back on the history of images and the way that images are made in our country and the way that images are used. The images of Black Americans in cartoons and Arab Americans in cartoons and movies right now are used so that we can feel comfortable killing people. And that's what I see when I see sexualized images of Hawaiian Americans or sexualized images of Indians or Indians, the gods that you can just take and like slap up on your wall and feel like you're kind of like in touch with that culture. Meanwhile, your country's going to war. And I think that more than oil, which is what is obviously a big part of it, but really what makes it easy for us to go to war right now is the fact that it's easy for us to just take Iraqis and turn them into a cartoon character that we know them as, because that's what we see on television and because that's what we see in our school store. And what I think when I see those, one thing I feel is really uncomfortable, because I think about how easy it is for America to not give anything to Cuba and how Cubans are starving. And that also is a part of it for me and for lots of other countries and lots of people that I care about. But also I think, what a fucking sick paradox, anthropologists, that it's so able to be like, look how great we are and look how proud we are of how liberal this education is. And some of it really is. And I've learned so much here from all you people and from my classes. But at the same time, I walk into the school store and that's what I see. And I walk into teachers' offices, friends' rooms, all over the place, and that's what I see. And I think that's sick. That is something that's very deep. And it's not like sick, like I blame each and every person. It's like this is very huge and it's something that we're all very much a part of, including myself, and that we need to talk about and we don't talk about. That's what cultural appropriation is to me. And it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was gonna say, like what you were saying, Michelle, that there's like, I feel like for some people, like culture can be fluid, and like for other people, it isn't. Going back to that question of power, like, you know, like, just like looking at lots of like historical examples, current examples, and kind of like, you know, like things like, you know, like Native American like ghost dance being outlawed, where if you do it, you get like slaughtered. There was like massacres of large numbers of people like, for doing like a ghost dance, whereas it could be like the Hampshire College, you could start like the ghost dance group for like white students to like do that or whatever. You know that it's like so it's not just a question of like whether culture, of course like culture moves around and like different people access different cultures, but there's like, you know, ways that like, or you know, if, like attacks on bilingual education, attacks on people's like languages, attacks on people's cultures on the one hand, and then on the other hand, there's like, you know, sort of the consumer culture of like Middle Class America, where you can buy anything and like package anybody's culture as a commodity in order to, you know, sell and like, to sort of like piece together your identity based on like different things you can put on your wall, or different like, you know, like people who can like sort of have access without accountability to anyone.
Can I just ask you a question? I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense, except that I'm still not clear about who is entitled to define the parameters, the boundaries of a particular culture. You know, I think Michelle was right. To some degree, it is about the fluidity of culture as a process, as something that we all sort of create in the process of just, you know, being a community, being together. But at the same time, you know, if you were to say that it is not in fact fluid, that it plays out in these different ways that you're listing, the fact remains that somebody has to. I mean, you or someone is actually defining what this category is. You're saying that, you know, X is symbolic of this culture, or X is a part of this culture. The fact still remains. I mean, who's doing the defining? And I think to some degree it is about the issue of power. But I'd still like us to think about that a little bit, because the specificity of culture as a category is one that I personally struggle with in my own work as well. You know, how exactly do I, you know, me in my own role at Hampshire, right? How do I locate myself culturally? I try to refrain from using that category by and large, because it's one that's too slippery in my own world. But for those who use it, I'd like to know exactly how they actually use it, because it is, to my mind, very slippery.
Sweden have their own like hip hop group, and they have their own version of it, or people in South Africa or whatever. So in that way, it's very like sort of like doesn't have boundaries. It's all over the place. But like basically like 99% of all hip hop is owned by like a small set of like multinational corporations, which are primarily dominated by like ruling class white Americans.